You're listening to the Westside Podcast, a part of the LA International Church of Christ family of churches, worshiping God in LA since 1989.
Our 10 characteristics, our sets of characteristics. Set one, competence. Set two, communication. So write one if you think it's competence, two if communication. Okay, these are characteristics that embody Jesus. One, power. Two, personal expression. Which more is what Jesus is about? Power or personal expression? Okay, next one. Accomplishment, support. Accomplishment or support. So one is accomplishment, two is support. Okay, one, efficiency. Two, feelings. One, efficiency. Two, feelings. Okay, one, proving oneself. Two, relationships. One, proving oneself. Two, relationships. Okay, next one. One, goal-focused. Two, helping. One, goal-focused. Two, helping. Write down one or two right there on your paper. Okay, next one. Number one, results. Number two, relating. Number one, results. Number two, relating. Next one. Number one, self-sufficiency. Number two, sharing. Number one, self-sufficiency. Number two, sharing. And then the last one, we'll just do this last one. Achievement one, two, beauty. Achievement one, two, beauty. All right, add up how many ones and twos you got. Add up how many ones and twos you got. All right, how many of you guys had more twos? A lot of you guys had more twos. How many of you guys had more ones? Okay, guess what? That's very similar to the statistics that got out. Let me tell you where these lists came from. They came from a classic book called Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. And it talks about the main attributes that men aspire to versus that women. Guess which one was the one? One was the men and two was the women. And just like the survey, 80 or 90% of you here thought that the qualities of Jesus were the women attributes. Guys, let's just own that. We need to rediscover spiritual manhood. You guys with me?
Yeah.
We've been conditioned by our culture and by something that somehow the number one attributes aren't truly Jesus' attributes, but in your heart of hearts, you liked the number one. You just thought, I'll be spiritual and pick number two. But you like number one. You like competition. All right? You liked it, but you're like, oh, no, I can't put that. Jesus wouldn't have been that. And I think that's where we've got it wrong on many accounts, guys. Jesus is the ultimate example. Now, that all being said, all those qualities are godly, okay? But it's funny how we somehow think that the really strong manly qualities that more typically fit into what a man's heart is drawn to, somehow those aren't the right ones, and that is just not the case, all right? There is a definition of manhood. I don't know if somebody ever asked you, hey, what is a man? I don't know what you'd say. What's your definition of manhood? Now, today, I'm going to make one simple point, but I'm going to reference another big, big message of what a man is from a great writer. But what I want you to take away today is this. Spiritual manhood has everything to do with being a man who is changing,
Amen.
A changed man.
All
right, changing, growing, evolving, because we want to become like the ultimate man, Jesus, all right? But there's a writer, Robert Lewis, who he wrote a book called The Making of a Modern Day Knight, and he also wrote another book about authentic manhood and men's fraternity. And he defined manhood as these four things, you know, and I want to say before all of you, we need to be changed into spiritual men. And he gave four specifics about what that looked like. It spells the word real, like real man. And his four things were R, reject passivity. Don't be passive, right? Reject being passive. E, expect eternal things. You're thinking eternally, right? A, accept responsibility as a man for your family, your kids, your life, your situation. And L, lead courageously, a real man. All right, so we're not going to get into all the context of that, but you can look it up. That's a great definition. Ask yourself today, do you have a definition of what a spiritual man is? What would you tell somebody? Now, Of course, the right answer is Jesus, right? Amen. That's always the right answer. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 3 or scroll down. Pull your phone out. Hopefully you have a Bible app. And scroll down to John chapter 3. We've been studying the book of John. We're focusing on Jesus. Today, as we rediscover spiritual manhood, I want to share the passage from John 3 where Jesus encounters Nicodemus. All right, we're going to begin reading there in verse 1. It says, now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can perform the signs you're doing if God were not with him. Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into the mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. Let's stop right there. So here's my main point. A spiritual man is a man who makes changes. Man. A spiritual man does not stay stagnant. You have Nicodemus. You know, he's a leader of his community. Says he's a Pharisee. It's like maybe tantamount to being a lawyer of today, an expert in the law. He's also on the ruling council. He's a head politician. He's important. He's significant. He's wealthy. He's accomplished. So we might respect him in that day and age. And he comes to Jesus, and I want you to notice what it says. John wrote specifically, he came to Jesus when?
At night.
Now that's interesting, because Jesus wasn't popular in that day amongst the ruling class, the religious rulers. He comes to him at night. And we're going to get back to that. But I want you to realize this. He says, listen, I tell you the truth. And he just cuts right to the chase. Like, hey, we know you're a spiritual man and you must be doing great things. And he's seeking something, right? He's there with Jesus because he knows Jesus has some answers. He wants to be a godly man. He's trying to be as far as he can tell. You've come today to church, standing in the park. You want to be a godly man. Jesus cuts right to the chase. And he says, here's what's got to happen. You got to be a new man. And I'm here to tell every one of us, we got to be new men.
Yeah.
We got to be new men, not just once, all the time.
Yeah.
All the time we got to be new men. Specifically, Nicodemus, he wasn't quite right in the heart. He had gone to Jesus at night. He says, you're going to have to be born again, born from above. Now, interestingly, if you look right there, multiple versions of the Bible, that word is different, and sometimes it says you must be born from above, and it's a very interesting word, anothen, in Greek, both means above or again. Okay. So I think John used that word, the Holy Spirit used that word, because he's saying you're going to have to be born from above spiritually. You will have to be born again in a new way. Hey, we're all here already. We've been born of our moms. But you're going to have to be born again. You're going to have to change, right? And I like what he says. He says, how's that going to happen? By water and spirit. And we don't have time to get into all the depth of what this means, but let me just say there. He's talking about a cleansing of the old, getting rid of the old you, getting rid of the junk, getting rid of the impurity, getting rid of the sin of the old. The Jewish purity rites are in play here. And he is talking about baptism. And he's talking about the Holy Spirit. You're going to be changed by the Holy Spirit. Spiritual men believe they can change, that they can be transformed. Sadly, there's statistics that show a lot of men, when we get into our 40s and 50s and 60s, guess what happens? We quit. Yeah. We quit thinking we ought to change. We quit thinking we need to change. And we quit thinking we can change. Wow. And yet that's not a spiritual man. A spiritual man can change at every stage of his life. And all men have to make the big change of making Jesus Lord of their life. And it requires a massive new birth and change of your life. Amen?
Amen.
As I think about so many of the men out here, and you look at your own individual life, God has changed people dramatically. We're going to get to hear a little bit later today from our brother Oscar. He's going to do our talk on offering. But I didn't know Oscar before he was a disciple. But I've heard his story, and I'm glad to know him as a changed man.
Amen.
And he tells his story a lot. And it's got a lot of deep stuff in there. And we all have a lot of deep stuff we could talk about that's ugly.
Yeah.
Legal issues. Complex issues in our life. I can tell you stories. Drugs. A lot of people don't know. I had drug stories. I mean, I was in college doing some stupid stuff. Right? Oscar can tell you all his stories. I'm glad to know him as a changed man. But not only changed from being a worldly, ungodly, law-breaking, unholy guy, I'm glad to know him differently now than he was when I met him like 4.5 years ago.
Right.
He's
Amen.
Changed dramatically.
Amen.
And you see that in his character, how he handles himself. And I could say that about a lot of you here. But are you willing to change?
Amen.
That's the hallmark of a spiritual man. So Nicodemus, he's like, what? How can this be? I don't get it. And Jesus tells him, you know, you're supposed to be a leader and you can't figure out this change. He's like, you're going to have to change, all right? And I'm talking about spiritual stuff. So how do we do it? How do you make the change? Well, I want us to skip on down in the verse there, down to verse 14. And he says, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. All right, let's stop right there. So how are you going to change? Here's what's going to need to happen. You're going to have to follow our theme. I know we're talking about this theme of focusing on Jesus. And they said, whoever looks to the Son, just like in the days of Moses. Now, if you don't know the historical the study right there, what happened is the Israelites began to complain to Moses about their life.
Right.
They were embittered by the food they were eating. They had got out of Egypt. They got out of slavery, out of all the challenges, all the oppression of their past life. And you know what happened? They started complaining. Why? Because they didn't like the food. It wasn't good enough. They had food every day, but they didn't like how it didn't, they didn't sit well with them. They didn't like being tired. They didn't like wandering. So they started complaining. And what God did, he says, all right, you're going to complain. You're going to be ungrateful. And man, let me tell you something. As a man, worst thing you can do is be ungrateful because it is good to be a man.
Right.
Do not be ungrateful. You got to choose to be grateful, right? We talked about the real man concept, right? One of those things is you accept responsibility. You choose who you are and what you're going to be. And you don't want to be a complainer. God sent snakes to the Israelites. If you read the story in the book of Numbers, he sent snakes amongst them because they were complainers, and they got bit by the snakes. Any of you guys ever been bit by a snake? Okay, very few of it. One guy has. Okay, I have not. I wouldn't want to be, right? But even worse if it's a poisonous snake.
Right.
And then they died. A lot of the Israelites died. God allowed the snakes to come amongst them because they were complaining. And they got bit. And I think the spiritual analogy is how easily we get bitter.
Right.
Things don't go the way we want. We didn't get the job we wanted, the girl we wanted, the circumstance we wanted. Things didn't go the way we wanted. And as men, we get mad and we get bitter.
Right.
And you get bitter, you poison yourself. That's what happened to them. So what was the solution? Well, they said, hey, we messed up. Pray for us, Moses. Moses prayed. And then God said, all right, here's what you do. Build a snake. He literally get a snake, you know, out of metal, build it out of bronze. Moses built it, you know, cast it out of bronze, stuck it up on a pole and said, anyone who gets bit by a snake, they just look at that pole and they'll be healed. And that's what happened back in Moses' day. And that was a precursor to the idea that our own sin wrecks our own life, our own bitterness. And so what's the solution? You got to look at Jesus on the cross. He is lifted up from the ground, right? You look at Jesus on the cross and that is the step to changing and getting out of the bitterness.
Amen.
If you feel embittered by life, You haven't taken a good look at the cross. When you look at the cross, you look at what Jesus did. None of us have a reason to complain about anything. We got to take ownership of our life. You guys with me?
Amen.
All right. Spiritual manhood here. So I want to move on and talk about a couple other points here that I think are very important. But one thing I want to bring up is this. In our day, sadly, it was said by Vonnie Beecham, he had this one sermon where he goes, here's how men in our world define manhood, sadly. The three Bs, billfold, ball field, and bedroom. That's how our society thinks what you're a man. That you have a lot of money in your pocket, you accomplish a lot of things on the ball field, and you have a woman in the bedroom. And that's how we define our manhood.
Wow.
And that's just a simplistic, not realistic way. Although, it's okay for a man to have all those things in a godly way.
Yeah.
But ultimately, what we want to look to is Jesus, right? We got to look to the character of Jesus. How does character get built? How do we develop character? You guys know the verse? Who knows? What leads to character?
Perseverance.
Who? Say it loud.
Perseverance.
Okay. Perseverance. Actually, and then,
suffering.
Suffering leads to perseverance. Perseverance, character. Thank you. You got to suffer. Men, you want to be godly? You're going to have to suffer. You're going to have to go through some hard times. I'm just going to be real. Here's one of the biggest thing I think as men in L.A., we got to suffer through the worldliness floating through the airwaves.
Right.
Let's talk about just sexual purity.
Right.
That is some suffering, right? Yeah. To deal with the craziness on our phones, the craziness on the signs out on the street, the craziness of the airwaves, and to fight for that is going to take some suffering. But you want to develop character and be like Jesus, you're going to have to suffer. I remember one of my old girlfriends called me after I had gotten baptized, and she was hoping that I would visit her, right? You know, sometimes after you make a decision to change, some bad temptations come after you.
Yeah, that's right.
And she's like, hey, can you come to my apartment? And I'm like, nope. And she said, why not? I said, because I'm new. I'm different now. Come to church. And she goes, I like the old Steve. I said, old Steve's dead.
Yeah. Come on.
And I actually hadn't talked to her since then. That was 34 years ago.
Of course.
But that's what's got to happen. You're going to have to make some strong decisions. To develop godly character, you're going to have to suffer. To change, you will suffer. All right? But suffering's okay. All right? It's okay. Everybody suffers a little. Embrace it. Go through it. There is a godliness in that toughness that men are called to. Develop godly character to change. You guys with me?
Yeah.
All right, so as we read in the text, we got to look to Jesus for sure, and then we got to imitate him. And I want you to notice the most famous scripture on all the football games is, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, right? That whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. God sent his son. In 1 John 3:16, it actually says that, doesn't just say God sent his son, it says Jesus gave his own life up so that we could overcome our sin. So here's the point. From that real man concept that I told you about, the R, rejecting being passive. You got to reject passivity, and that's the example of God. What did he do? The world's in sin. The world's messing up. The world doesn't love me. What did he do? I'm going to go on down. I'm going to initiate with mankind, and regardless of how they respond, I'm giving my life up. Regardless of how people respond, Jesus said, I will give up my life. You know, in the Garden of Eden, we read the story of Adam standing next to Eve when she ate the fruit right from the tree. It's interesting. You realize he was standing right next to her when she was tempted, but there's no indication that he tried to stop it.
No indication.
And said, she liked what it looked like, grabbed some, said, here, you have some. And he passively stood there and said, oh, okay, I'll just do it.
Right.
So the fall of man is man's fault because we stood passively by. Jesus wasn't passive. Fathers, you're going to have to initiate with your sons and daughters.
Yeah.
Husbands, you're going to have to initiate with your wives.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to play. You cannot control them. But what you can do is you can guide them, give them input, You can set an example for them, and you can lay down your life.
Amen.
That's all you can do. You cannot control what your wives do. And once your kids are about teenage years, you can't control them either. I got a 14-year-old. Control is pretty much out of the line, right? I can take a few things away or do a few things, but they're going to choose what they want. So as men, we've got to be like Jesus. We initiate. We give good message, good truth. And then we set an example, and we lay down our life. That's what we got to do, all right? Men, if you're going to be a spiritual man, you're going to have to lay your life down for your wife. You have to lay your life down. That doesn't mean that, you know, she runs things. You are to take responsibility for the family, for the marriage. You take responsibility. That is what a man does. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to close out with this last thing. So Nicodemus, he came to him at night, right? But I want us to read the end of this chapter, which I think, you know, the writer here, the Apostle John, and the Holy Spirit using him, purposely put this like this. Look down in verse 19. It says, this is the verdict. In the NIV, I like it. It says, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. If you want to be a changed man, you got to come into the light. You see that right there? Nicodemus, he wanted to meet Jesus at night. Was he really what he needed to be? I don't think he was. But he might have changed. There's some evidence that he might have changed. And we'll close out in that moment about that. But talk about your own life right now. I want you to think about your own life. Coming into the light is crucial for changing. It's crucial to become a Christian. I'm so excited studying the Bible, spending time with these great men, older, confident, successful men. And hearing them open up their lives. It's been great getting with Everett and Andrew. And they have opened up everything in their lives. They've come clean. They're like, you know what? I'm going to just cough it all up. I'm not hiding a thing about who I am, who I've been. Here's who I've been. I don't want to be that any longer.
Amen.
They came into the light. Amen. And for us to change, we're going to have to always come into the light to make the changes necessary. You guys with me?
Yeah.
You do that the first time when you're learning the scriptures so you can cough it all up, deal with your life, and accept the free gift of grace that comes in the waters of baptism, right?
Yeah.
But you got to cough up your life so you know what's causing you the problems.
Yeah.
Will you be open with a man? Will you be open with somebody about the stuff that's tearing you down?
Yeah.
Changed spiritual men get open with each other,
yeah.
All right? Today, I hope you have somebody you feel like you can get open with. Everybody needs that, all right? For sure, we need this purity issue in LA. You got to have a partner to talk about the struggle. Other areas, discouragement, pride, bitterness is in there. You're not getting what you want. Other challenges, how you're handling your finances, your doubts. You need a spiritual man in your life. You got to come out, come clean, get real, and have some you can open up with. So that's my challenge, to be changed men. Part of being changed men, there's multifaceted ways to go about it. But today I want us to think about, will we come into the light? Nicodemus, we find in chapter 7, actually stood up in front of the whole Jewish ruling council when they were claiming that how wrong Jesus was, how out of line he was. And he stood up a little bit and he said, hey, come on. Don't we at least give a man a fair trial? I mean, he tried a little bit.
Right.
Later, we find in the end of Jesus' death, after he dies, he actually came to bury the body with Joseph of Arimathea. And we read in Acts that many priests became obedient to the faith. I think maybe Nicodemus made the change someday and became a disciple.
Man.
He started out at night, but maybe he came clean, came real, and made the change. How about you today? Will you be a spiritual man? Will you make the changes? And it's not a one-time thing. It's a lifetime thing to make the changes. And that is the message of the cross. Every day, we come clean. We get real. And we open up our life, and God helps us be transformed, men. Let's be spiritual men as we reflect on Jesus being the original initiator of change by coming down and dying for us. Amen?
Amen?
So let's go to God in prayer at this time as we take communion, and let's be men, spiritual men, who are changed men. Amen?
Amen?
Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much. Thank you so much for the time to reflect on what a real man is, a spiritual man. And we know Jesus is our example, not this dark world. Father, help us to be changed. Yes, for some of us today, God, help us to make the change, to make the decision, to get baptized, be completely converted and surrendered. But for all of us to remember the cross is our antidote to sin every day. Father, help us be changed, transformed, and leaders in our world, in our family, and in our community. Father, we thank you for Jesus' blood shed, his body given for us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've just listened to the Westside Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit thewestsidechurch.com or laicc.net.